Amen. Just over in the glory land. We'd like to, for each one of you, to think about how satisfied you really are. How satisfied you really are. We have people that we may come in contact with, and we could probably say without a shadow of a doubt that they are never, ever satisfied. When things are going well, they are not satisfied. When things are going wrong, they are not satisfied. They have crossed all their T's and dotted all their I's, Brother Ali, like you stated this morning, but yet they're never satisfied. Always won't, and never want to give. I believe we need to think about that as we talk about Christians' contentment on this evening. Christians' contentment. We are commanded to be content. There are some Christians that are not. The scripture reading from 1 Timothy chapter 6, we're going to go back there once again, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, just a starting point, that we may understand what it really means to be content. The definition for contentment is a state of happiness or satisfaction, a state of happiness and satisfaction. We should be satisfied with all God has given us. But there are so many that are still asking God for things and wanting things from God and demanding things from God, but yet never taking the time to say thank you, God. That is a problem. And I believe that as we look at what Paul wrote Timothy here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting with verse 6 once again, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can cannot take anything out of the world. Job said something similar, didn't he? I came into this world naked, and I'm going to leave naked. I didn't bring anything in, and I'm not going to take anything out of it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can we say that today? That we are satisfied with all God has given us? Understanding that we brought nothing into this world. We did not even come into this world in order to add anything to it. Everything was already here for us. We have to accept what God has done for us. A lot of times we tell people, you made your bed, you lie in it. You do what you have done. Now you're going to have to suffer the consequences, or now you're going to be able to reap from the things in which you have sown. Godliness, the Bible says, once again, with contentment is great gain. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. With food and clothing, we will be content. What does the Bible teach us reference to that? It teaches us that if we put God first, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Food and clothing. With these we will be content, because we are doing what God wants us to do. So therefore, we are going to get what God has in store for us. We need to be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Going after something that you really don't need. I want you to consider this just for a moment. Have you ever sat back on your front porch and watched a dog chase a car? And he's chasing that car, and he's trying to bite at that tire. And if he happened to catch up with that tire, the same thing that I saw on the internet, which I thought was the most ridiculous thing in the world, this numbskull, as Brother Randy would say, had a drill. He put a corn cob on that drill, and he turned it on, and he tried to bite it. You know what happened? His tooth fell out. If that dog catch up with that car and bite that tire while that tire is rolling, you know what's going to happen? That dog is going to lose his teeth. And now you can walk by that dog and you can laugh at him. You can do whatever you want to. And if he come, all he's going to do is numb your leg, and there's no problem. We have Christians that they're chasing after things. And when they catch up with those things, what are they really going to do with them? Godliness with contentment, the Bible says, is great gain. Great gain. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Oh, if I just had another dollar, you know, I can go play the lottery. A root of all kinds of evil. Even if you went and you took that $1 and you went and played the lottery and you won it, what would you do? Oh, man, I got $10 off that scratch off. I'm going to take that $10 and I'm going to buy 10 more tickets. I'm going to buy 10 more tickets. I'm going to buy 10 more tickets. Now, we know covetousness is a sin. But we have some Christians that really haven't grasped that idea yet, that, oh, this is really nothing wrong with this. I still have food on my table. My kids still have clothes to wear. But you're coveting after something that you don't need. Take that dollar and go down to McDonald's and get your hamburger off the dollar menu. Now, I remember when I was first introduced to the dollar menu, we were riding with some people, and I'm going to, you know how I like to call names, but I'm going to save the names in this instance here. And they started ordering all this stuff, and I was thinking, just because we said we're going to pay for it don't mean you can get all these things. And then when the cashier or the lady at the window gave us our price, I was like, wow, what's going on here? And Anita said, they was ordering off the left side of the menu, which is the dollar menu. And I was like, cool. Introduce me to something that I had never heard of before. But we have to know that many times people are trying to get something for nothing. Let's look at it and let's consider what the Bible says once again. Is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Godliness with contentment is great gain. We can be happy in serving God. We don't need anything. We don't need anybody. We need God. And if we have God, we're going to have his people. We're going to have his blessings. So let's be satisfied with that. Is that too hard to ask? Is that a command that we cannot live up to? To do what we're supposed to in order to be pleasing unto God? Here's what we find. That people are distracted today because they are trying to gain great wealth. I have X amount of dollars and I'm not satisfied with that. I need to invest and I need to get more. I need to get more and I need to get more. You need to get more until the stock markets crash, and then now you're crying and said, I should have did something else with my money instead of investing in this nonsense over here. Or the things that you have, you know, oh, I know I have a lot of stuff, but you know what I want? I want more stuff. I need more possessions. I need more things that maybe I can leave to my kids, or maybe I can leave it to my grandkids, or maybe I can just leave it. That's what Solomon said. You're just going to leave it. We have to understand that these things, that when a person is trying to get more wealth or they're trying to get more possessions, that person is not content. They're not happy, but they're always trying to get more and more and more. And then we need to think about not only being content with we're trying to get more wealth or with more possessions, but we're trying to get more beautiful. Now, can you get any more beautiful than you already are? You know, we tell people sometimes, you know, you need to get out of the mirror. You're not going to change. You're going to be the same. But there they are in the mirror, and they just prancing. Oh, they doing this, and they doing that, and they having problems with their hair on this side. This side is okay, but this side is a mess. And they're still trying to look good. And when they leave, someone say, you spend all that time in front of the mirror for what? For what? My mom used to tell my daddy, you know, we said, oh, where's daddy at? She said, oh, he's back there in the mirror. Think he looked good. Couldn't tell him any different. But people sometimes are not content with the way they look, so therefore they're exercising, they're doing this, they're doing that. And I hope no one here is going out to get any facelifts or anybody's going to have reconstructive surgery to your face because you don't like the way you look. Don't do those things. Be content with the face that God has given you. Oh, it may not be pretty or it may not be ugly, but be content with it. I look in the mirror sometimes, and I'm like, man, you are an ugly dude. But as Brother Antonio would say, I'm a big, ugly Mexican, but I'm not Mexican. I'm just a big, ugly black person, or a little, ugly black person. I'm what God has made me, or who God has made me, and there's nothing I can do to change that. I know some of you laugh at me sometimes when I come in here and I shaved all the hair off my face, and some even have the idea or the nerve enough to say, you need to grow that hair back. I don't know what they're saying, but then again, I do. But, you know, I'm content with the way I look. But then we have those that want to be popular. They do things in order to raise their popularity. They say certain things to make people want to be attracted to them. Be content with who God has made you and stay right where you are and never try to be above, you know, who you are. But be the person that God has made you. What a Christian needs to understand when we start talking about contentment, this is what it's not. It's not to be conceited. It's to be that lowly person that God wants you to be, making sure that you esteem others higher than yourselves. But again, we want to try to be as smart as we can because we want people to say, you know, that's a smart individual over there. You know, we can read all the books that we can possibly read, but do we understand what we're reading? I really do appreciate Brother Butcher's prayer because when he talks about praying for me and he says something on the lines of crown his head with wisdom, and not just with wisdom, but with an understanding. That's the same thing that Solomon said. And all ask for wisdom, but in all of your asking or in all of your getting, get an understanding. But it's not to be smarter than anybody else. But therefore, people are, this is me now. I'm way up here and you're way down there. But yet they're not content with being way up here. They want to get way up there. We need to be content. We need to make sure that we're no better, that we understand that we're no better than the next man. We're just mere servants of God. God made all men equal. In the book of Acts chapter 10, in the verses 34. Acts chapter 10, in the verses 34. Contentment, a Christian's contentment. We know the world is never going to be content. They're never going to have enough. They're never going to be able to do enough. They're never going to be able to look good enough. But a Christian, we want to accept people just the way they are. We want to be able to teach them the word of God so they may get an understanding out of God's word. But let us understand as we look at this that all men are created equal. God made men the same. Acts chapter 10, the verse is 34. So Peter opened his mouth and said, truly, I understand that God shows no partiality. God shows no partiality. We want to be more like Christ. You know what we should not do? We should not show partiality. We should treat everybody the same. But yet, we don't want to be the same as everybody else. We want to be higher than them. We need to know that God did not make us any higher than anybody else. Romans chapter 12 and the verse is 3. Romans chapter 12 and the verse is 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. One more time. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Oh, I'm bad, I'm big, I'm this, I'm that, and I'm the other. You are nothing. According to God's word, you are nothing. Oh, yeah, we're children of God. That makes us something. But yet, there are some Christians that think, oh, I'm this high, or I'm that high, and this, that, and the other. You are nothing. You are nothing. We need to grasp a hold of this, and we need to understand once again to be content, to be happy, to be happy. Oh, you're going to go to bed tonight with a smile on your face because you know that you're a child of God? Or are you going to go to bed tonight, you know, oh man, I just don't know what I'm going to do. You know, my bank account is going downhill. Oh, I've lost this, I've lost that, and I've lost the other, and I am just not satisfied any longer. Maybe it's with the person that you're with, or you've been with this person for years and years and years, but now you're no longer satisfied with that person, so therefore you're not content and you're out looking for someone else. I knew a man that once his last child graduated high school, he divorced his wife. He was no longer content with her. He was no longer satisfied with her. And he was just waiting on that last child to move out of the house. And when that last child moved out, he moved on. I think that's sad. Oh, there are some times we're going to have some problems. We're going to have some difficult roads that we're going to roll down. We're going to have some bumps. We're going to have some thorns that we're going to get stuck by. But that does not mean that you have to depart company. Sit down, talk about what's going on. Get that spark back into your relationship. Do the things that will be pleasing unto God. Put Him first, and all things will be all right. Well, let me take that back. I think I told you once before, when someone lose someone, don't go up to them and say, it's going to be okay. It may not be okay. It may not be all right. But if you put God first, He's going to take care of you. That person still may leave, but He's still going to take care of you. But we have to understand once again, God comes first. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done in this life, when we find in Scripture why our Lord and Savior died, we put ourselves into that category. And we need to be happy about that. We need to be satisfied about that. Because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John chapter 4 and the verses 14. 1 John chapter 4 and the verses 14. Are you content? 1 John chapter 4, verse 14. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. The Savior of the world. What type of people are in the world? What type of people were in the world when Jesus was crucified? What type of people were in the world when Jesus was sent to this earth? What type of people were in the world when it was being prophesied that Jesus would come? What type of people were in the world in the days of Noah? What type of people were in the world when God created Adam and Eve and therefore they did what was wrong? What type of people were in the world then, and what type of people are in the world now? We find that they were not content with what God had told them. And we find as time went on, people were not content with what God wanted them to do. And we find today that people are not content with how God wants them to live. Happiness has gone out the window. Have you ever had a bird that was caged up? And you opened the cage of that bird and that bird flew out and he flew all around your house. And by the time he started flying over the house, someone walked through the door and that bird flew out. Let me tell you why that bird flew out. That bird found happiness. You open the cage and the bird came out and there he goes. You know, somebody say, well, if he come back, he's yours. If he don't come back, he never was. You're the one that caged that bird. So therefore, he really never was yours. He's one of God's creations. Yeah, oh, we keep them as pets and we love them dearly. But that bird is not truly happy until he get out of that cage and he get to experience what goes on outside of that cage. And I believe that we need to think about that today. We need to think about our lives. We need to think about what God has done for us. Oh, we're not happy in sin. We think we are, but we truly are not happy in sin. We are really not in love with the world, but there are so many people that love the world and they think that they're content. Give God a try. And see how happy you truly can be. Give God a try and see how satisfied you can be, because He is going to take care of you. You will find that those things that you thought you needed, you really didn't need. It was just a mere want. What we really need today is we need God. And we need to be satisfied with what all God can do for us. What Christian contentment is. Let's talk about that just for a moment, because we need to understand what Christian contentment really means. It means living within our means. We have households today where we have to have the mother and the father, or the man and the woman, working outside the home. And not only working outside the home on one job, but some of them have to work a part-time job when they get off their full-time job. Why? Because they're living above their means. They have bills that they have to pay. They made the bills, so therefore, yes, they need to be paid. But we need to understand, when we pay some things off, we need to quit making bills. Therefore, you can spend some time alone with your spouse and it's not, you know, brushing up against her or up against him when you're passing down the hallway, you know, getting a quick kiss and, well, I'll see you later, I got to go to work. That's not contentment. That's not satisfaction. That's not happiness. You have things that you need to do, and you have those things to do because you have wanted to live above your means. I've told you in times past that sometimes instead of upgrading in our homes, we need to downgrade. We need to get rid of some things. We don't need all the space that we have, but yet we want more space. Why? Why? Why is there a person that needs all of these things, but yet there are rooms that they never go in? Never go in. There are things that they never use. We tell people sometimes, you know, you need to purge your closet. What does that mean, purge your closet? You know, some say if you haven't worn it in a year, you don't need it. You need what you need to do is you need to get rid of it. But what we do is we say, okay, I'm going to go ahead and purge my closet. You go through these things and say, I know I didn't wear that last year because I gained a little weight. I'm going to lose that weight, so I'm going to keep this. Why? Why are you going to keep it? Are you sure you're going to lose that weight? You know, I can go through my closet. I can get rid of some things. And I'm just as guilty as the next man. I go through some things. I say, oh, that looks good. You know I hadn't worn it in 5 or 6 years, but I'm going to keep it. And then I go through some other things. You know, maybe I'll look at this, baby. You know, I ain't seen this in 10 years. I'm going to fold it up and put it back in the drawer. I got some items at the house that are brand spanking new. Never worn before. And guess what? Never will wear them, but they look good. You know what I'm waiting on? I'm waiting on my boys. And I've told you this before. I had a tool set for Timothy. And Timothy didn't act right for about 6, 7, 8 years. And I got tired of him, you know, saying, oh, Daddy, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I got tired of looking at this item that I had for him, this tool set. And I just finally gave it to him. He's still not acting right today. But there was something that was just in my way I didn't need. I have some jerseys that I'm just waiting to give them. And Malachi, I think I'll give you one of them. How about that? Because I didn't promise it to them. But it's there. You know, things that we can just get rid of and we can be still satisfied with what we have. That's what it means, you know, when we start talking about, you know, doing what God wants us to do and enjoying the things that God has given us and not trying to live above our means, not trying to keep up with the Joneses. We have so many people today that are going broke because they're trying to keep up with their neighbors. Are we living the best in? We got some neighbors that may have some things, and we got some other neighbors that may not have anything, but the ones don't have anything, we're not looking at them. We're not considering them. It's the neighbors that have something around us that we're trying to keep up with them. But we need to check on ourselves, and we need to understand that we need to be satisfied with what God has given us. The desire to have more things and better things is great, but you know what? That's not what God desires for us. He wants us to continue to put him first. He wants us to continue to think about what he has done for us. It's not what we can do for him. It's what he has done for us. He wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. He wants us to be happy, yes. But we need to stop. And we need to think. And we need to say, I can do without that. I can do without that. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 34. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 34. The verse that I quote quite often is in verse 33. Verse 33. Did I hear somebody say, yep? Yeah, I figured it was you. Look what he says. We're going to drop down to that verse, and we're going to read that verse in verse 34. 6:33 to 34. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day as its own trouble. What am I going to do tomorrow? It doesn't matter. Tomorrow is not promised to you. What are you going to do today? That's what we need to be worried about. Let's be satisfied with the right now. Maybe you're here and you're not a child of God, and there are things that's happening in your life that you're really not thrilled about. You're not happy about those things. You can change that. You can change that by putting God first. But in order to put God first, you have to put Christ on. And then once you put Christ on, now you're putting God first. And as you put Him first, you learn how to be content with whatever you have. Whatever you have. Not trying to keep up with anybody. You know, it's hard enough keeping up with ourselves, let alone trying to keep up with somebody else. Let's do what's right. Oh, yeah, we're happy when a man get a brand new house or a brand new car. We're happy about those things, but let's not try to outdo him. Because there are so many people that have so much more than what you have, you'll go broke trying to keep up with the next man. Let's do what's right. Verse 11 of that same chapter, Matthew chapter 6. As Jesus told his disciples to pray, he says, "Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread." Oh, are you satisfied with the daily bread that you have? With the meal that you had today, or are you satisfied with that? Because again, he says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Your daily bread was in that number. It was in those things that God would give you. How many of you went without a meal today because you did not have? Not because you didn't want to eat, but because you did not have. How many of you went without a meal today? If you are in that number, please, by all means, do not leave here and go back to an empty pantry. See me after worship service, and I will make sure that you get something to eat before you get back home. It's important that we realize that God takes care of His children. And the way He takes care of His children is by what other Christians do. We're supposed to take care of one another. We're supposed to help one another. Are you content? Are you happy? You know, it's sad that some people go around all day long and just do not feel like people want them or do not feel like they're worth anything. If you are a child of God, you are worth something. You are a child of God. You're heirs to the throne. And I don't know any priest anywhere that is not happy. If he is not happy, it's because he's serving the wrong God. Serving the wrong God. Let's think about Paul and Silas for a moment. About being happy. About being content with serving God in Acts chapter 16 and the verses 25. After these individuals had been beaten and cast into prison, oh, they did not let it get them down, as many of us would. Oh, we stomp our toe and now we're miserable. Oh, we have a flat tire and we're miserable. But what about being beaten and cast into prison? You know, if that happened to you, if you're miserable for stomping your toe, or if you're miserable for having a flat tire, if someone beats you and casts you into prison, oh, you're not going to make it. Because you're focusing on the wrong God. You know, a lot of times when things happen in our life, we say it must have happened for a reason. And we just go about our business. If there's a flat tire, if it's raining, we get out and we change that flat tire. And as we change that flat tire, we're singing praises unto God because it could be worse. I remember going down the highway doing about 70 and had a blowout. Oh, it did not take me off the road like some people. You see some of those blowouts and your vehicle turned a couple of times. Had that blowout, I heard it, and I just cruised on side the highway. Got to a place where I could change it, and I changed it, and then I went and I got a new tire. Still under warranty. Thank God. Thank God. But these individuals here in Acts chapter 16, verse 25, Paul and Silas, again, they were beaten and they were thrown into prison. And it says this, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Prisoners were listening to them. Do you think that they were singing some old sad hymns? Oh, Lord, I'm so sad that I've been cast into prison. No, I don't think that's what they were doing. I think they were singing praises, uplifting God. And as they was uplifting Him, there were those around them listening. And as they were listening, the Bible says, and suddenly there were those that were listening to them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of a great earthquake, and the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. That's powerful, isn't it? That these individuals have been beaten and cast into prison. They're singing praises unto God. And an earthquake came. The chains were loosed off the prisoners. They were free. But Paul and Silas did not take that opportunity to escape. They took that opportunity to teach the Philippian jailer. And I believe today that as we have an opportunity to teach people, we teach people from the position in which we are in. Let's be content. When someone asks you, why are you so happy? You tell them you're happy because what God has done for you. You're happy because God sent his son to die for the sins of the world. You're happy because now you have an opportunity to get into heaven because of the way you're living your life. Be content. Be content. But yet, there are those that are not content. And so, therefore, they're trying to get any and everything they can. Oh, he hit you. He hit you from behind. How's your back doing? How's your neck doing? See if you can't take him to the courts and sue him for all that he has. They're not content. They are not content. I got a letter from an insurance company one time and told me, you know, we're going to cancel your insurance because you had this wreck. You totaled your truck and the people that you hit, they have sued us and we have given them all the money they can get. And be careful. They just might come after you. What are they going to get if they come? Absolutely nothing. Why? Because I'm content without having anything. But they got what they deserved from the insurance, and that was why I paid my insurance. But people will come after you. And then when your spouse get mad at you and they're getting ready to divorce you and you have X amount of dollars or this, that, and the other, they're trying to sue you for everything they can. They want all that you have. In Texas, you get half. You get half. And what's half of nothing? Nothing, Anita. It's nothing. My baby loves math. She just says she don't do it in the evening. And she told me, she gave me permission to call her name this evening. But not in that instance. But then when we have our parents that die, and there we are, brothers and sisters, siblings, we're fighting over what? We're fighting over, again, nothing. But that's what happens. People are not content. Oh, you know, daddy had this or mama had that, and that's what I want, and this is what you're going to get. You know what I do? You know what I'm going to do? If that happens in my family, I'm going to push back, and I say, you can have it all. You know why? Because I have God. I have Jesus. I have the Holy Spirit. I have eternal life waiting on me. You can have it all. But really, what are they getting? They're getting nothing. There's no happiness in anything like that. So what is Christian contentment all about? It's all about serving God. Putting God first. Let's keep that in mind. It's not conceit. It's not laziness, because we have some lazy people that says, I'm content. I went to worship service this morning. There's nothing else I must do. I don't have to knock any doors. I don't have to talk to anybody about God. I'm happy. What are you happy with? There's no way you can be happy because you're not doing what God tells you to do. The Bible says, go teach, baptize, and continue to teach. You're not doing that. There's no way you can be happy. No way you can be happy. Self-satisfaction. I'm going to get all I can while I can. For what? What are you going to do with it? One day you're going to die. You're going to leave all that you tried to get to somebody else. And what are they going to do with it? They're going to sell it. They're going to look at it and say, man, that's ugly. I'm getting rid of that. And you know how much they're going to get for it? They're going to get a fraction of what you paid for it. But yet you wanted it because you wanted to be satisfied with keeping up with the Joneses. Let's be content with and satisfied with serving God the way he deserves to be served. If you're here and you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to become one. We want to encourage you to be satisfied in serving a great God. We want you to be satisfied in your worship. We want you to be content with what God has given you. We don't want you to change, except for change from a sinful man into a righteous man. That's the only change that you need to make. You don't need to, you know, try to get a better job when you become a Christian. If you need a better job, God will make sure you get a better job. But some of the jobs we have, we need to stay right there because we can be an example to somebody. Let your light so shine before man that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. We need to do what God desires for us to do. If you're here and you're not a Christian, that opportunity is yours to become one. Maybe if you're here and you are a Christian, but yet you have not been content, but now you realize that you need to be content. You're trying to get some things that really you don't need. You realize those things. You need to ask God to forgive you for pursuing after something that you really are never going to have. Because if we had it, we'll put God on the back burner. And he realizes this, so therefore, we're never going to get those things. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.